We're looking at these chapters in Numbers. If you're a visitor, we're teaching through this book in the Old Testament. But what I wanted to do today was focus slightly differently on the overall theme of those chapters rather than on the detail. But when I came to look at it, I realized that actually these chapters are packed full of issues which are relevant to the rest of the Bible as well. So here we go. We're going to have a quick look at five questions. I hope you enjoy this. And I hope, again, I can get it shared right. Here we go. So let's share the screen. And hopefully you can see the first question. Nice, noisy question for you. Okay. If you've got a Bible, you can open it. There's no cheating. It's not a question of cheating or whatever. It's just a question of looking. So this was all of Numbers chapter 19 is about something called the water of cleansing. And it tells us that as well as the sacrificial ashes of the red heifer, fascinating stuff, we must really look at this another time, but we're not going to do it on this particular Sunday. What else was added to the water? Was it hyssop? Was it Persil washing powder? Was it scarlet wool? Was it cedar wood? Was it olive oil? Or was it myrrh? What else went into the water of cleansing? And the answer is that hyssop, which had healing qualities, that was in the water. And hyssop is actually referenced at the cross as well. Scarlet wool. Goodness knows why scarlet wool was put in, except that it's a picture. Along with the red heifer and the blood taken from the heifer, all pointing to cleansing and forgiveness of ritual uncleanness through the lifeblood. And also D, the wood itself, the cedar wood, points to the cross. People think cedar may have been the wood that was used on the cross. So, unusual story, a whole chapter telling us about a water that was prepared for ritualistic cleansing. Okay, question two. Now, this next one, really complicated. The story that Lucy read to us was when Moses hits the rock and water comes out. But God is very displeased with Moses as a result of this. On a previous occasion, you can look back and see, Moses had been commanded by God to hit the rock with Aaron's rod and water came out. So this time, when he hit the rock, why was God so displeased? Was he displeased with Moses because Moses implied it was him and Aaron who were supplying the water in the way they spoke? Was it because he got angry Moses didn't hit the rock when God had said, speak to the rock? Or was it because Moses and Aaron didn't help the people recognize God's wonderful provision for them yet again? What do you think? Well, actually, I think the answer is all three, because this is what it says in Numbers 12:20 that Lucy read to us. The Lord said, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And yet it still doesn't quite tell us which of these things, and that's why I think it's probably all three. Moses was angry with the people and hit the rock when he was told to speak. He definitely says, why should we, him and Aaron, do this? And he clearly wasn't pointing the people to a loving God who provided for them. Okay, question three. On top of which mountain did Aaron die? Mount Sinai, Mount Hor, Mount Zion? Well, Lucy and I have actually been here because it's in the country now of Jordan. And the answer is Mount Hor. And what's important in the rest of the Bible about this is that Aaron, the high priest, who's been the high priest, Moses' brother, since they left Egypt, he dies, but his son is appointed as the new high priest and is the one that is the high priest when Joshua leads the people into the promised land. Okay, different sort of question. Whose flag is this? Is this the Pacific nation of Palau? That's a good one if you do pointless and you like those sorts of quiz questions about countries with two vowels in it. What about the International Center for Herpetology, which is the study of snakes, apparently, and reptiles? or the World Health Organization in the news quite a lot at the moment? And the answer is, it's the World Health Organization. Now, you might be surprised to find a Jewish Christian symbol on their flag. And so, of course, being the United Nations, they deny it is. They say it's the rod of Asclepius, the Greek god of healing, mentioned by Homer in the 8th century. But a lot of thought suggests that possibly the Asclepius image was actually drawn from that story of God's bronze servant in Numbers 21, which happened 800 years or so before that. And perhaps it was taken, that idea, to Greece by the seafaring Danite tribe. And certainly there's this amazing picture when the people are rebelling against God again and the plague of serpents comes and bites them. God says to Moses and Aaron, make the bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and those who look at that serpent will be saved. And of course, that is a picture pointing forward to Jesus. Interestingly enough, and I didn't even know this till I researched for this particular talk, that bronze serpent was kept. But by the time you get to the book of 2 Kings, it was already being misused as a pagan symbol. It is still, however, around the world today, recognized as a symbol of healing. I don't think it's Asclepius. I think it is the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. And the last question. How often, this is chapter 21, the end of it, how often do the Amorite kings Sihon and Og appear in the Bible after the book of Numbers? They're mentioned quite a lot at this time. Never? 5 times? Or 10 times? Well, the answer is 10 times. And again, we spend a lot of time, I'd be interested to ask the Sunday school teachers in the Sunday groups whether they've ever taught about Og and Sihon. We often talk about Joshua and Jericho and the battles in there. We often talk about Egypt, but actually these kings and what happened to them seem to be a significant thing in Jewish history. They're not mentioned in the New Testament, but they are mentioned, as you can see, 10 times, including in Psalms of worship. And so obviously this is something which to the Jewish people was far more significant, perhaps, than we had realized. We are going to look a bit more at those chapters, but we're going to go in a different direction, particularly focusing on Pentecost Sunday, on the gift of water. I'd like you to make sure you've got your glasses of water handy. If you've joined more recently, I'm suggesting that everyone has access to some source of water as we talk about the second part of the service. So just have some water handy if you can. Probably better water than coffee. I'm sure some of you are drinking coffee too, but that's fine. But the water, I think, will be helpful. Please leave at least a mouthful to the end. And at the end of this, hopefully you won't be able to say that my sermon was dry, which is good. I wonder what you think about when you think of Pentecost Sunday. One of the things that obviously we focus on then is the dramatic coming of the Holy Spirit, intervening in people's everyday lives on a Sunday morning, or Saturday morning, probably, actually, I think. Dramatic activity. And I wonder, as you're settling down now for what you think is going to be, and probably will be, about another 10 to 15 minutes of me talking, are you coming to this as you would do to a television program? The screen is in front of you. You're settling back. You're going to be, well, let's hope entertained, but that's probably pushing it a bit. But at least you're going to be informed or engaged or whatever. I was really challenged about this as I prepared for this particular talk, because the question I want to ask you as we start, and before I put the slides up, I'm just going to pray as well. Do you actually expect that God could speak to you or do something special through this service this morning? I was challenged because often if I come to Fairfield when I'm preaching, I come with a sense that I have God's message to share, and I come so that I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm looking for God's Spirit to work among us. Now, I've preached now probably more than anyone else in our church has on Zoom in the last couple of months. And I realized that sometimes it's a good method for teaching. You know, we can get information across just like the television. But actually, that perhaps today, and the message today, perhaps God actually wants to speak to us. So I just want to ask you to pray with me that you might be ready to receive God speaking to you, actually expecting God to work in your life through what you hear in the next few minutes. Not from me, but from God's Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have promised that when we are gathered together, you are there in our midst. Lord, you know that we are gathered in this strange but actually very effective way today. Lord, you know we've been learning to learn through watching, through hearing. But I pray, Lord, now that you might actually speak into our lives, that we might anticipate you bringing about change. Change to us sitting in our own homes, that you might bring about a touch of your Holy Spirit on each one of us today. Lord, give us trust, give us expectation, I pray, that you want to meet with us now. Amen. Okay, so let's think about then the Holy Spirit as water. And let me share my screen again. Water in Numbers 19 to 21. The overarching theme of these three is water. And the first picture of water is that whole chapter of the water of cleansing. If I had put up 3 months ago, a picture, maybe 4 months ago now, actually, a picture of someone washing their hands, it would have meant nothing, not really. Yet now it is something that means so much to us because we understand that washing our hands is so fundamental for fighting the spread of COVID-19. The picture in Numbers 19 is one of a ritual cleansing as well, of getting ourselves clean and right to come into God's presence. And we need, and thank you, Chris, who led the prayers, for leading us in a prayer of confession too, that we need to come cleansed to God. Water is also life-giving. Life-giving, the story we heard from, we often focus on Moses hitting the rock, but the point was they were in a desert and there was no water. This is a picture of a water hole in Namibia. And this bit of Namibia, as you can see, is really scrubby desert land. Huge areas of barrenness. And then you come across a water hole and all life is there because all life needs water. You just sit in a vehicle watching on a safari like this. It's amazing because, of course, all these animals are there and then suddenly they all dash off because lions are coming or elephants come or whatever. But everyone needs to come to the water. Water is essential. It is life-giving. And God provides life-giving water for his people in Numbers 20. And then... Refreshing. Here's a picture of some people who've just got a borehole well and who are enjoying drinking fresh, clean water for the first time. And interestingly enough, in chapter 21, there's a great line. It says, then they went to Beer. And it does say that. It really does say they went to Beer. But Beer was where Beersheba becomes the well, which they find by God's grace. And that's still an oasis in the desert. And of course, that water is cleansing, is life-giving, is refreshing. And all of these pictures are meant in Numbers 19:21 for our education and for a reminder to the people of Israel of God's wonderful provision of life, of cleansing, of joy and refreshment. Pentecost Sunday was the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told his disciples after his resurrection and ascension to wait till they received his power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And because the Holy Spirit is often quite hard for us to grasp in our minds, he is God and yet he is not perhaps as easily given an analogy as God the Father or God the Son. Various pictures are given in the scriptures to help us understand a little bit more about who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Tongues of fire, wind, anointing oil, a dove, and water. And Jesus used the theme of water to describe the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to share now for the rest of this talk some of these verses, because I think they speak into our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. But they also perhaps speak into our need right now for a touch again from God's Holy Spirit. Here are the pictures I should have put up. Pictures to help us get some understanding about the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment to look at those and to think, what does that tell me about the Holy Spirit? But we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit as water. Take a drink if you like. Jesus said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit." Now, this one's a bit confusing, I'll be honest, because people argue over whether the water in this sentence means natural birth, whether the water means baptism. And I would again encourage anyone who is a Christian who has not yet been baptized to think about baptism. There's a great picture that Philip Watson sent me of doing one remotely with someone with a water gun shooting at someone across a church, which I thought was very funny. But I'm sure we could work out soon in the open air how we could do a baptism. But actually, I think the concept here is putting these two pictures together, water and the Spirit. And the message is that every one of us needs to be born again. We need the new life that God offers. And those verses from John 3 are taken from that conversation that Jesus had with a wise Jewish leader. And yet the man was baffled at the thought about being born again. But our experience as Christians is that God wants to bring new life, life in all abundance. He wants to bring that to us. And the way he does it is by the indwelling Holy Spirit giving us new birth. Jesus also said, "Everyone who drinks this well water will be thirsty again," talking to the woman by the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus says that his new life will mean that we will drink of his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit will be completely satisfying. Now, how we struggle with this, because so often we feel dissatisfied with our lives, with what's going on. But if we turn to God and draw on his Holy Spirit, given to us as a gift, words there, the water I give them, if we draw on his Holy Spirit, we can know in our deepest self that joy of the spring of water welling up to eternal life. I realize this is a picture that I absolutely love, the idea of the water, because I look back and some of the best times I ever had on holiday as a child or with my children, and I hope in the future again with my grandchildren, would be playing in a river, in a spring of water, when you've got that sense of movement and energy, when you can engage in it. Playing in water is something we love to do. I took my grandchildren up to London, obviously last year in the summertime, and we were down by the City Hall, where they've got those fountains now coming out of the water. Absolutely fantastic. You stand in one place and water would shoot up and you run out and somebody would shoot up over you somewhere else. It was so thrilling. It was so enjoyable. And there's something about the water, not just its refreshingness, but the way that it actually brings joy to our hearts. And some of us need to know the joy of the Lord today. And the promise from Jesus is that everyone who drinks the water that he gives will be satisfied, will not thirst. Indeed, the water that he gives will become to us a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. And that picture of eternal life tells us too that this is not just a happy moment on earth, but it is the assurance that we start this new life and that that new life goes through death to eternal life as well. And that's something that with our church having lost 5 lovely members in the last few months, we mourn, but not as those without hope, because we know that they have gone on to eternal life with Jesus. And Jesus said as well, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus is addressing the crowd at one of the big Jewish festivals, and he tells them that whoever believes in him, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's personal satisfaction again. Yes, there's eternal life. But notice now this water is flowing out. It's flowing from within them out into the situation around them, to their family, to their friends, to their society, to this world. The picture there is the Murchison Falls. This is very near where Dan and Jody live. And Lucy and I went to see them 2 years ago in the summer, and it was absolutely amazing to see this water. This river is a river you know. You might think Uganda is bang in the middle of Africa, and it is. But this river, 2,400 miles away from the mouth of the Nile, is the Nile. And it's already, in the back of that picture, a huge river. But at this point, the river comes down to a narrow ravine gorge that is just 7 meters, 23 feet wide, and it drops down 140 feet, to 43 meters for those that like these things, the most powerful waterfall in the world. Because the huge, mighty Nile, that's already a great river at that point, is forced out through that narrow ravine as a torrent, as an incredible source of power. God wants his Holy Spirit not just to be welling up within us like a spring, but to be flowing out through us, to impact the world in which we live, to affect those around us, to come with power into our world. I don't know if you remember back, I think it was New Year, and I invited people to share, and Nikki Hunt shared a picture of that river flowing out from Fairfield, impacting the area around us. I don't know how that will be fulfilled yet, but as people, we can hold on to this promise that Jesus gives, that anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, and whoever believes, rivers of living water will flow from within them, out with great power to all around. There's a couple, many more references to the Holy Spirit as water. I just want to pick on two more at this stage before we close down. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, from Titus. A wonderful picture of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bringing us to new birth and renewal in the Holy Spirit poured out on us generously. The gift is given again. The Holy Spirit is water too, as affecting the way we are as a church. And maybe this is a good time to take another drink if you'd like to, please. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. We are a community that is united by the Holy Spirit. Even as we're spread all over the place today, yet we are brought together as sons and daughters of the living God, baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, whatever our status, whatever our situation. And we are all made to drink of the one Holy Spirit. Picture clearly of being baptized in water and the Holy Spirit, and of being refreshed because we all drink of the one Holy Spirit. I want to finish by talking about the blessing of the Holy Spirit and that blessing available to us right now. You can trust God. He knows what you need, and he knows too your capacity to receive him as well. He will never bully you. Some people get frightened of the Holy Spirit, perhaps the mighty river and so on is a picture that terrifies you. But the promise is there that the Holy Spirit will come to those who seek him, who believe in Jesus, who come to that invitation, who are thirsty. Perhaps it's a drop you need today. Perhaps it's rain. I've been out a lot, like a lot of people, in the garden over the last few months, because it's a place you're allowed to go, and it's been very dry. And I was out even this morning just doing a bit of watering. I had a plant that had been almost died, and yet water added to it, suddenly it starts to grow again. And perhaps for some of us today, this long period of separation from others, of worry, of concern, has made us perhaps very spiritually dry. And the promise is that that rain of the Holy Spirit can pour down on us. Maybe you need that sense of the spring starting. Perhaps you've never actually believed in Jesus before. Jesus offers that if we drink of him, a spring of water will well up to eternal life. Or perhaps you need to know that power in your life, a life filled with the Holy Spirit, hearing and obeying God's words and sharing his truth and love with others, empowered to live for him today. He is inviting you to trust him, whether he will give you a drop, a rain shower, a spring, a mighty river of his Spirit to bless you, refresh you, and take you to eternal life. We are invited to drink. Almost the last words in the Bible are this: the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let the one who hears say, come. The bride there is the church, by the way. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let them take the free gift of the water of life. As I mentioned, as I started, if we were in church now, it would be easy to know what to do and how to encourage people to seek God's blessing. I realise I'd lost sight of how to do this when it comes to talking to people at the end of a screen. But today I'm praying that God's Holy Spirit will work among us where we are in our homes. That whether we need to receive a gift of cleansing, or new birth for the very first time in the kingdom of God, or to be refreshed in the life of God, to experience the joy of the Lord again, or to know his power to work through us into situations around us, we can take this invitation today to come, to drink, to receive the free gift of the water of life. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who I am, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." Come and take the free gift of the water of life. Let's pray. God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come again to ask you to cleanse us, to refresh us, to bring us into your new life, to give us joy in our lives again, to empower us to love others and to share your good news. Come, Holy Spirit, touch us now. Meet us in our needs, we pray. Amen.